Blog Talk Radio.
Righteous mane everywhere I go. You're gonna light my candle, son. You're gonna make it shine. You're gonna lead me to the throne.
Testify.
I am a working man. I get things done. Work for the Holy Ghost. Work for the Son. I am a working man. Oh yes, I am. I am a special agent of the Lamb. Child, I was born in the north. I was born in the autumn time. Lord only knows what for. I was born when leaves turn red. Born when things are dying. But I was born with a big old mouth. I am a working man. I get things done. Work for the Holy Ghost. Work for the Son. I am a working man. Oh yes I am. I am a special agent of the Lamb.
Since you were in Sunday school, you have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are: trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know. You memorized them in vacation Bible school or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father, and your lips will move as I quote them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways, trust. Trust. Now we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting Him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test. Or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now. You're getting good at it so you can carry that with you when you graduate because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lawrence Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie, and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lawrence brought up to the platform, and he was a longtime navigator, and Lawrence said, "Tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust?" The old man said, "Well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet. You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, God, at this moment, I rest in you and you alone. If you're married, God, help my spouse and me to trust you. To lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you." I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh? How easy it is to disobey trust in the Lord with all your heart? Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected? Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. They were raised on a very poor ranch. They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School, and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little kind of got on their feet and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area. And they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly, those animals know where to go. Usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled. Hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. As everything is lost, all possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, we realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served. They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. The Lord taught me through my shameful response. He'll win this battle. Trust Him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon His promises. Just to know. Thus saith the Lord. Trust God.
with him your trouble.
You can share.
You can share.
Oh, you can use his higher power. Every day.
Every day.
Yeah, any hour.
Any hour.
Heals the sick. He heals the lame. And he says you can heal them too in Jesus' name.
Because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life. Eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer. And Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
There's a train coming, don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel's humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord, yeah. Train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key, open up the doors and board them. There's room for all among those loved the most, yeah. So people get ready, There's a train coming. Don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel.
Daryl Dixon on the saxophone. I believe there are many ways to worship. Amen. We worship with our words. We worship with our instruments. We can worship with our entire bodies. My only prayer is that it's pleasing to the Lord. That's our only prayer. Only prayer that pleases you, God.
There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those, Lord, whose chances grow thinner. There ain't no hiding place from the kingdom throne. Yeah, so people get ready. There's a train. Just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord.
Leroy, take your time, dude. Take your time. You know I'm talking about worship. And right here is my good friend David Watson, plays the flute as well as the saxophone. In fact, he considers himself more of a flute player even still than a sax player. At least that's what your old man said. This is your turn, man. Sing on to the Lord a new song. Thank you.
don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith. Hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just get on board. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. You don't need no ticket, no, no, you just thank the Lord.
Let's thank the Lord right now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, new world sign. People get ready, there's a train coming. Don't need no baggage, just get on board, hallelujah. We don't have to pack. Yeah, we already ready. We're getting ready daily. Yeah, praying more, girding up the loins of our hearts and mind in his word. Practicing that word, applying it to our everyday life. And so we're grateful unto him this morning, and we appreciate him. We love him today because it was him who first loved us. He showed us the first key of love. Yeah. And so we're thankful unto him. This morning I found the scripture, and I didn't put where it was from, you know, the chapter and the verse. But I wanted to share this morning because we have to go back to that old path and take a look around. We need to do that often because things have really changed. And if we're not careful, we will change and follow what has been changed. And we won't stick with the original. And we must stay with the original things of Almighty God because his word will not change. He won't change. Now, he can change the way that he does things, but he himself won't change. He was that way yesterday. He's that way today. And he will be that way forevermore. And we are always thankful. We are always grateful unto him because with him not changing, what he said, he meant, and he meant what he said. And it won't go away. We'll always have that. We'll always have the truth in him. He will always be there for us. Rain, sleet, snow, or hail, God is there. The problem with us is we must learn to go to him about every little thing. Because whatever concerns us, big or little, it concerns him because of his love for us. So I wanted to share this right away this morning. Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So the church changed. The old path changed. Because people decided the old path, it did not give them what they wanted or all that they wanted. So they changed things. Some things they said, this is not what God meant. When he said this in the scripture, he was saying that, but we had it misinterpreted. I can agree to a certain degree. But prayer will fix it every time. All we got to do is ask God. Thank you, Brother Louis, Jeremiah 6 and 16. All we got to do is pray and ask him, show me how to look at the old path and show me how to choose from the old path what you said and teach me how to apply it to my everyday life because I need to live your word daily. I need to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you daily. Because God is not just a sometime God. He's an all-time God. He's an on-time God. He's a forever God. He'll never go away. later on, after he come back and receive his church, he may do some different things than what used to be done. But he will always be here. What we must learn to do is lean and depend on him. Ask him for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lead me in the right path for your name's sake. Help me to do what's right. Help me to do what's right unto others. Yeah. And give me an ear to hear from you. Give me a heart and a mind to obey. I don't care what it costs me. I want to obey you. Teach me how to bring my flesh under subjection. Teach me how to allow my flesh to die so that you can live. Many times we don't take it to heart and go to God with our whole heart. We've heard some things somewhere and we are going to God according to what we heard or saw. But all he wants is just a simple heart to come to him. Broken hearts. He wants hearts that are hurting. Yeah, he wants the mind that's confused. He wants those who can't stop doing certain things. And when we go to him, we just be plain and simple, everyday down to earth, nothing pumped up. I know you've heard the prayers, our Father God, of our God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. I know many have heard where every day will be Sunday and Sabbath will have no end. We've heard many different prayers, and they sound good to us. But God just wants us to come to him plain and simple. Lord, I need your help today. I don't know which way to go. There may be another prayer. Lord, I have bills. Your word said, owe no man. And I don't want to owe anybody. But my income is not adding up that I can take care of all these bills and owe no man. Would you show me a way, Father, to make more money or to do something that will bring income that I can cover these bills? Or Lord, would you open a door for me, or would you make a way for me that I can cover every one of my bills? And Father, having a few dollars left over would be a blessing unto me. Would you do it for me? Plain and simple, plain and simple. Lord, my children are acting up. I didn't raise them that way. And God, I've taught them the best that I could, and I see the results are not what I taught them. They're doing something different. Would you bring all of this unto them for testimony unto you? And help me to trust you, Lord. I give them to you. I ask that you would help me to trust you, that you're going to take care of my children. Because sometimes children are too far out there. A lot of times we don't know what they are doing or what they've been doing until the end result. And sometimes it's not a good result. So we keep them prayed up. We keep them covered in the blood of Jesus. But we just got to learn how to talk to him in plain everyday English. Nothing pumped up, fixed up. None of these cliches or whatever they call them. None of that. All of this, God is good all the time, God is good. It sounds good, but we don't want to take that to him. We want to take our heart, our whole heart to him, open it up. Talk to him, let him fix us. Because he already know we can't fix ourselves. That's why he sent his son, gave us a mediator. That we can share with the mediator, and the mediator take it to him. And he will fix it for us because he loves us. Hallelujah. Thankful unto him this morning because he woke us up closed in our right mind. We have the use and activity of our limbs, our life, our health, and our strength. We yet have another chance today to get it right with him. We yet have another chance today of things we didn't get done. We can get it done today. There may be somebody who wants their own business. God is able. Yeah. He's able to see us through. There's a scripture that talks about when our ways please the Lord. There's nothing he won't do for us. The very things we want, he will supply them for us. Yeah. Because we're doing all we can to please him. We're doing all we can so that he will see. I want my way to be your way. Yeah. And your way to be my way. Hallelujah. I want to be one with you. Proverbs 16:3 is the scripture. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So what I got to do, I want this business. So what I got to do is pray about it and commit my way unto him, even the business that I want. I must commit it unto him. And tell him, Lord, if you open this door for me, if you give me this business, I want it to be all about you leading and guiding me in this business. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Proverbs 16:7. When a man ways pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So when our ways please God, when God is happy with what we're doing, even our enemies will be at peace. I've had it to happen for me. I've even had people to come back and apologize. Why? My ways pleased him. It didn't make me better than nobody. It didn't make me perfect and high-minded and I'm just all of that. No, it didn't make that. It made me grateful unto him. That I could trust him with my life, that I could look to him for all that I needed to get done, even with my enemies, my children, finances, my home, my car, everything. When my ways please him, he'll take care of it. You've heard me say over and over again, he made a budget for my truck. There was no money to pay for a brand new truck. He opened a door and made a way. That each month until the truck is paid off, there will be a budget. And afterwards, he's that kind of God. Hallelujah. All we need to do is trust him. Believe, trust him, and acknowledge him. We want to pray to him. Yeah. Sometimes just the thought of him with whatever your situation is, that's acknowledging him. You may not know the words to say, but just the very thought in your mind, God, if you could do this for me. Lord, you can do this. I can't. Just the very thought, because it's a prayer. So we're grateful unto him this morning. Look, I got a very good response from people saying good morning to the different names on the roll call. I got a nice response. And Sister Lexi said, I love y'all, Sister Barbara. That blessed me real good to hear her say that. I don't hear from her often, but every now and then Alexis will say something. Every now and then I hear from Melody Rose. And it's just a great thing. You know, it's a great thing to say good morning and then, you know, later on you hear from them. They may not say too much because some people are not big talkers. Angela Foote, I hear from her. Matter of fact, she plants seeds. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Sister Simone, I'm hearing from her more. Sister Mary Ann. I just love it. Mike Hopps. If I'm on that subject that he like, if I'm talking about what he like, he gonna say it right there. Good morning, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. Okay, Sister Jerry. Okay. So, yeah, we have these people. Brother Marquez on Sunday, I can count on it. I'm going to hear from him on Sunday morning, most times. And Brother Frank, and y'all know Louis right there. Louis emailed me in a minute. Yeah. And so it's just a beautiful thing, Brother Anthony. I got a chance to talk to Brother Anthony yesterday. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah. And so, you know, it's just wonderful. Pastor Boatwright will send me a message. You know, I ask her something, she'll answer back. So it is just a beautiful thing to have some beautiful people around, somewhat like-minded. They believe the God that you believe. They believe that God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. They believe in standing still because they're going to see the salvation of the Lord. They believe that as soon as trouble arrives, they draw closer to God. They don't run away from him. They run to him because trouble has come. And without him, I can do nothing. Yeah. So we're grateful to have each other. Hallelujah. To be a part of this morning group that comes together here as a group to give God the first fruit of their day. Sister Laura, I hear from her all over on Instagram. Somebody need to teach me how to use that Instagram because I don't really know. I just be over there messing around. But I want to learn how to use Instagram. Sister Jerry. Yeah. I hear from Sister Jerry every day. We're going to talk sometime 4 or 5 times a day. Barbara, did you know this, that, and this? Oh, Barbara, we're going to this and that and that and this. Yeah. And so God put people in your life for a reason. And you don't dog nobody out. You don't overlook nobody. Because, you know, in many churches, they have what they call cliques, picks, and I like this one, but I don't care for that one. I like this one a little bit, but not enough. You have all that kind of foolishness. You have some places where, oh, I love them because they give so much money, or I don't care for them. You have all that foolishness. But we love everybody the same. Yeah, we do. Why? Because we're all apart. Brother Jermaine. That brother Lee Hamilton. That George West Perry. That's my boy right there, too. That George West Perry show up and say something right now. Kim Hops. Kim and Mike, they won. It's rare that you see one without the other, you know. I talk to one and you don't get to talk together. They're going to be together. And it's just a beautiful thing. I have Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluka, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne. I may not hear from them that often. Now, Yvonne, you let a little trouble rise. Yvonne going to get a hold of me. Barbara, I was looking for you. I was on the show, but I couldn't get in. I could hear, but I couldn't say nothing. Yeah, all that kind of thing. Andrea Spinner. When we talk, I have to have some time because we both going to talk. Yeah, we going to talk a while. And so I'm just grateful. Dr. Goodman, Rita, yeah. When I say good morning, Sister Rita, she run right to Facebook and put on that good morning and send me a GIF over there. She was the one who taught me how to use Facebook with all of that. Sion. Or over there cruising around for days and just enjoying herself. That's a good thing. Sending me pictures, showing me stuff. I like all of that. Yeah. Sister Diane. All of that kind of thing. Diane sent their gift up for my birthday. She come to visit me all the way from Virginia. Yeah. And so I'm grateful unto the Lord for the many he has placed in my life. Some have come and some have gone. But I trust God and whatever he allowed, whatever he decided to do, I'm good. Hallelujah. So I want to say good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. Oh, my 708. Don't forget my 708 area code, Brother D. Yeah, can't forget Brother D. And we prayed for him. I hadn't heard back from him, but we prayed for him. Brother Dan, every now and then he would come through. Yeah. So good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman again, Sister Mary Ann, Sister Rose Brown, Sister Simone, Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Angela in California, Sister Laura, Mr. Mason, Miss Deborah, Alexis. God bless you, Alexis. We love you too. Sister Michelle, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, Sister Jared, Sister Angela Foote, and Mama, Sister Anna Lee Foote, Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, Apostle Claudia Boatwright, hey Cal, good morning to you, Cal. Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank, and Brother Marquez Griffin. Apostle Claudia Boatwright, if I didn't say her name. Good morning to each and every one. And I just wanted to share that a little bit because I love you. I love each of you. Yeah. And the scripture teaches us, for God is love. Yeah, for God is love. And I know things have changed. You used to could ask your neighbor for a cup of sugar, two eggs. Go over there and ask them if they have a stick of butter. Today, they're not doing all of that. You're talking about real bad if you borrow something. No, you don't want to be borrowing nothing today. Pray that God give you your own. Because people have changed. They're not like that anymore in the believing, lending, and borrowing, and bartering, and all that kind of thing. Yeah, my dad used to tell me when he was a boy, you know, they had meat, cows and chickens and hogs and stuff. And so they may not have had a garden with greens in it, but that was rare, he said. But sometimes they may have planted something else instead of the greens. And so the neighbor, a door over, which was like a mile or two from them, the mom would send, my grandmama would say, go over and tell Miss Matt to send me three eggs. And I got this half a pound of bacon. Take this to her for the eggs. And they would barter. They would exchange things. Yeah. It's a little bit of that, I'm sure, going on somewhere today, but not like it used to be. Yeah, not like it was. But I always thought that was a beautiful thing, to have a neighbor like that, you know. Hey, go over there and tell Rita I should send me a cup of sugar when I go to the store. I'll send it back. If she needs something and she think I got it, tell her to let me know. And she send me the eggs or the sugar. And when the child get back, he might say, well, Mama, she says she need a stick of butter. Well, take the stick of butter back over there to her. Yeah, they would have wagons. They pull stuff in wagons. And when they get over to Rita might have had beans in her garden. So she sent back a croaker sack full of greens. Yeah, things was much different. It wasn't so modern as it is today. And I believe back during them days, it was better. It was better time. People went fishing in a lake. And fresh water, salt water. But I think it was fresh water in those lakes. And they called it a mess of fish. A mess of fish. Well, look at this. they might have berries, you know, and they didn't have all this fancy stuff they have today. So everything was basically made from scratch, you know, like lemon curd to make a lemon pie, all kind of different things back then. And so things changed, and to me, it changed for the worse. It just didn't change for the better in many cases. I appreciate the new car. I appreciate cold and running water, hot, you know, water and cold water, inside bathrooms, a shower. Yeah, I do. Those things were needed. But a lot of things are just ridiculous. Back in the day, we didn't have remote controls. We had to get up and turn the TV, as we called it. And if any remote control was in there, it was one of the kids. It was me, my sister, one of my brothers. Turn that to Channel 4. And we only had a couple of stations, Channel 4 and Channel 12, Brother Louis. Later on, they brought 17 in. Then they brought 47 in. Yeah, we didn't have a whole lot of stations. Yeah. So listen, this morning we're going in with Pastor Terry K. Anderson of Lily Grove Baptist Church, and we're going to take a listen at his message this morning.
Open your Bibles with me to 1 Kings, chapter number 17. First Kings, that's chapter 17. Verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Thank you. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I want to talk tonight about a man sent from God. A man sent from God. When you read the Bible is filled with accounts of men that seem larger than life. Men like Moses. Men like David. Men like Paul and others who seem to be characters that are far above the realm of our ordinary existence. So much so that when we read their lives or read their life story, we feel woefully inadequate. Who can measure up to Moses? Who is like King David? There's nobody living who was as austere as the Apostle Paul. No one could stand in Isaiah's shoes. When we read their lives, we feel small and inadequate because our experiences do not measure up to the larger-than-life picture of them painted in the scriptures. But all of these people that I just mentioned were just that, people. The man in our text tonight is no different from any other man. But James chapter 5 and verse 17 says, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. Through the life of Elijah, we see that God can take a nobody and make them a somebody. Let's look in verse number one. Let's zoom the camera in and put verse one under the microscope and see, like Elijah, we have tonight as the shepherd of the Gethsemane church, a man sent from God. Elijah, brothers and sisters, was just a common man. Verse 1 tells us that he was a Tishbite from the region of Gilead. And the word Gilead, or the name Gilead, means raw or rugged. This tells us that Elijah was from the backwoods of Gilead. His ministry, his methods, his mannerisms, his message, so all of them prove from the text that he was rough and rugged. Kind of like the pastor of Gethsemane Church. Rough and rugged. From the backwoods of Gilead. From the backwoods of Shreveport. Rough and rugged. Elijah was a man of fiery temper. Fiery temper. He was prone to bouts of depression and loneliness, because when you are called of God to do a specific thing, it's a lonely life. You can be surrounded by people and still feel alone. You're locked in a room with the doors wide open. You are in a place where there are lots of people, but because there's a calling on your life that's different from anybody else's life, it leads to loneliness. And brothers and sisters, don't think that because you're a Christian you don't get depressed. Don't think that because you're God's child you don't have bouts of depression. Because when God calls you, that calling weighs so heavily on your life that sometimes it causes you deep, dark moments of depression. Am I really called? How dare I claim to have God's word on my lips? Who am I that God would call me out of nowhere and place me at Lily Grove Church? Who is Dennis Jones? Of all the people in the world that God could have called to place as the pastor of this church, who are you, man, who claims to have the word of God on your lips? But brothers and sisters, the emphasis here is that the Lord is not looking for spiritual giants. He doesn't need the rich. He doesn't need the educated. He doesn't need the intelligent. He doesn't need the beautiful. He doesn't need the movers or the shakers of this world. All God needs is somebody who wants to be used. God chooses to work through the lives of men and women who will yield themselves to Him in all their commonality. Elijah was just a common man. You would not pick him out of a crowd. He did not stand head and shoulders above the crowd as did King Saul. He was not a sweet singer like King David. He was not an academic like Paul. He was not a leader like Moses. You would not pick him out of a lineup. He's just a common man. As a matter of fact, you don't even hear his name until chapter 17 and verse number 1. He just shows up on the scene, Elijah the Tishbite from Gilead. A nobody. A rugged, rough country, backwoods preacher that just shows up on the scene to to demonstrate that God can pick anybody. God can use whomever he chooses to use. All you have to do is put yourself in the way. Don't look down your nose at that man begging on the street corner. Don't look down your nose at that girl dancing on a pole. God can clean them up and stand them up in Gethsemane Church Sunday morning or Lily Grove Church Sunday morning and run rings around us praying and preaching and singing, because if you don't do it, God will find some common man. I wish I had a witness here. God will pull somebody off the streets, sanctify and forgive them, stand them up in your place, because God never leaves himself without a witness. I need to tell somebody here who think that if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. But you ought to watch the Astros play sometimes. And when the pitcher is on the mound and he's not doing so well, the manager comes out to the mound and has a word with him. And he lets him stay in another inning or so, and then he's back on the mound and he's throwing balls instead of strikes. And then he suddenly hears the sound of a ball hitting a glove, because there is another pitcher in the bullpen warming up, getting ready to do what he is now doing. And if you think it's not going to get done, you think you don't show up in the choir, they're not going to sing, or you don't show up in the mission and they're not going to teach the lesson, God never leaves himself without a witness, because soon as you go, God has somebody else to take your place. When Adam goes, Abel comes. When Abel goes, Abraham comes. When Abraham goes, Isaac comes. Isaac goes, Jacob comes. Jacob goes, Moses comes. Moses goes, Joshua comes. Joshua goes, Elijah comes. Elijah goes, David comes. David goes, Solomon comes. Solomon goes, Isaiah comes. Isaiah goes, Jeremiah comes. Jeremiah goes, Ezekiel comes. Ezekiel goes, Daniel comes. Daniel goes, Hosea comes. Hosea goes, Zephaniah comes. Zephaniah goes, Zechariah comes. Zechariah goes, Malachi comes. Malachi goes, John the Baptist comes. John the Baptist goes, Jesus comes. Jesus goes, Paul comes. Paul goes, Hayward Wiggins comes. Hayward Wiggins goes, Dennis Jones comes. And when Dennis Jones goes, God will have somebody else standing up, getting ready to do what Dennis is now doing, because God never leaves himself without a witness. Come. Come. God uses ordinary people. Plain old ordinary people. People who will do what he commands. People who will obey his word. People who may not look like much to you, but God sees something in them that you don't see in them. And God stands up just plain, ordinary, common, backwoods people to do his will. He was a common man. But secondly, he was a courageous man. He was courageous because he defied a foolish ruler. Elijah comes from nowhere. He's a nobody from nowhere. And he has the temerity to go into the palace of King Herod and say to him, as the Lord lives, there will be neither dew nor rain until I give the word. The nerve of him. The gall of this common backwards preacher to stand up in the palace of King Ahab and say to the king, as the Lord lives. Now King Ahab, if you read the Bible, you will know that King Ahab was a wicked king. He was a henpecked ruler. Because this woman Jezebel was the real power behind the throne. Jezebel was the daughter of the king of Zidon, and she brought to the Lord's people the worship of the false god Baal. She brought with her 450 prophets of Baal. And Baal worship is now instituted rather than the worship of God in direct contradistinction to God's command to Israel. But King Ahab, who could not stand up to Jezebel, brings Baal worship to the people of God. A weak man. I can't stand a weak man. Sister, when you go shopping for a husband, don't get a weak man. I wish I had somebody to help me preach. I don't want to get too far into that, because this is not my place, and I don't want to preach like I do at Lily Grove. But there are brothers who come to church and want to run something and don't run nothing at their house. Well, I take that back. They run the vacuum cleaner. They run the washing machine. They run the dishwasher. Then they want to come to church and run something. But God has a strong man in this pulpit. And listen, strong men are not intimidated by a strong man. Only strong men can follow a strong man. This man has so much courage that he stands before King Ahab in his palace and says to him, as the Lord lives, there will be neither dew nor rain until I give the word. He is defying this foolish ruler, and he is also defying a false religion. Baal, the god Baal, the pagan god Baal, was the god of fertility. And he was symbolized by thunder and rain. Baal worship had been instituted in Israel. And in the institution of this worship of Baal, there were temple prostitutes, priestesses and priests in Baal worship. And they had sexual orgies in the temple of Baal. And if there was a drought in the land, in order to appease Baal, they would sacrifice their own children. Sex orgies with priests and priestesses. And Baal, being the god of fertility, to appease him, symbolized by thunder and rain, they would gyrate and dance and have sexual intercourse in the temple in order to get Baal's attention because of the drought. And then Baal, they thought, made it rain. But Elijah comes in the king's palace and says to him in front of Jezebel, it's not going to rain, not even dew on the ground, until I give the word. It takes courage to do that. I said it takes courage to do that. And if you're going to be a man that God uses, you're going to have courage. The Bible says, be not afraid of their faces. You have to have courage to tell the truth.
Yes, sir.
I was listening, and I'm gonna have to deal with it because it's an issue now, and the country is making it an issue now. This Mayor Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is running for president of the United States, and he is an avowed homosexual. He is married to a man. And he says his religion, his God, does not judge him. And if anybody has a problem with that, then they need to take it up with his creator, because God made him who he is. And the TV commentators and the political people have fallen in love with Pete Buttigieg, because they're saying that don't never mind what his sexual orientation is. He is a strong candidate for president. As a matter of fact, he's climbing in the polls. He is second after Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. He has outlasted and outraised all of these other political candidates because they are in love with his intellect and his background. He went to Harvard. He went to, he's a Rhodes Scholar, and he went to the military, and he's married to a man, and they're going on and on about how smart he is, and he's conversant on all of the issues, and he's able to articulate his position better than anybody else. But like Naaman, he's a leper. And people in the church, I'm talking about Christians, see nothing wrong with that, because we have lowered the standard. Talk back to me if you can. Anything goes. Doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is. It doesn't matter who you love. Yes, it does matter who you love. It does matter what your sexual orientation is. God made them male and female, and it takes courage to speak out against that. Listen to me. If Christianity is true, and I believe it is, it is true whether nobody believes it. And if Christianity is false, it's false if everybody believes it. It does not rise or fall on whether or not I believe it. It's the word of God settled in heaven. And if the church does not have the courage to speak out against sin, then we've lost our identity. These people on the right, these evangelicals, Donald Trump's election has shown them for the hypocrites that they really are. Because they were talking about Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham. They were talking about him today, and he was saying that Pete Buttigieg needs to repent for being gay. And that's true. But Franklin Graham is not the messenger. Because Franklin Graham excused Trump being married 3 times. Having 3 baby mamas. And having sex with a porn star. And when confronted with that, Franklin Graham said, well, we didn't elect him to be the pastor. We elected him to be the president. Well, you can't see immorality on one hand and call it morality. I wish I had somebody to help me. You got to be consistent in your argument, because the truth is the truth, whether or not it's Trump or Pete Buttigieg or Terry Anderson or Dennis Jones or anybody else in this audience. And if you don't have the courage of your convictions, you'll never be able to be used by God. Amen. God is calling for men and women of courage to stand up when you see wrong and call it just what it is. Elijah was a common man. He was a courageous man. But as I heard, he was also a committed man. The name Elijah means God is Jehovah. He had a personal relationship with God. So much so that his name means, my God is Jehovah. Brothers and sisters, until you know him, you can't serve. I don't care how pretty your voice is. Until you know him, you can't serve. I don't care how deep your rhetoric is. Until you know him, you can't serve. I don't care how smart you are. Until you know him, you can't serve. But how can you serve somebody you don't know? And brothers and sisters, I think Lily Grove and Gethsemane, we have the same testimony. We got enough members. We need some disciples. We need some people who know God in a personal relationship. I wish I had a witness here tonight. We need some people teaching Sunday school who knows God. People who sing in the choir who knows God. It's not enough to be an usher. You got to be a Christian. It's not enough to be a deacon. You have to be a Christian. It's not enough to serve in church. You have to be born again. This Elijah was totally dependent on God. Because to even come in the king's presence without being announced was certain death. To come in the king's presence without him raising his scepter to invite you to come near was certain death. But Elijah just comes out of nowhere, walks in the king's palace, and says to him, as the Lord lives, there will be neither dew nor rain until I give the word. Now his life could have been taken in that instant. But he was so committed to God that he knew God had given him the word. It was not Elijah's word. It was God's word. And when you know you are preaching God's word, you don't have to worry about what the people can do to you. Because if the people call you, the people can stop you. But if God calls you, they may not like you, but they'll have to respect you. They may not love you, but they will have to respect you. Because if you are God called, God will stand up in you. When you're committed, you serve God when you don't feel like it. When you are committed, you give God's word even if it costs you something. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, says that when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Paul says, I die daily. I die to my desires. I die to myself. I die to my wishes. I die to what I want to do. My life is totally committed to God. I have spent my whole life, as far as I can remember, I've been in the church. I started pastoring at 20 years old, preaching at 18. I never had a young adult life. I've been in church all my life, serving God ever since I can remember. Before I was pastor, before I was preaching, I was playing the music at our church. I was a musician when I was in school at Bishop College. Ralph and Freddie Clark and them would wait for me on Sunday evening because I played music at the New Hope Baptist Church in Ennis, Texas, and I would come back to the campus with $35 a week. And I was a baller with $35 a week. I was the highest paid student on the campus. $35 a week. And they would wait for me like I was their father because I was bringing home the bacon. Every week with $35. I played the music before I started preaching. Then I started preaching, and then I started pastoring. Ever since I've known myself, I've been serving God. And I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. God's been good to me through good times and bad, through rough seas and calm.
When I was down, God was there. When I was up, God was there. When I had friends, God was there. When I was by myself, God was there. When I was sick, God was there. Now that I'm back on my feet, God is still there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you trust God, God will open doors that's been closed in your face. God will make your enemies your footstool. God will put food on your table, clothes on your back. God will provide if you are committed.
Wish I had one or two more Bible readers here. You can help me testify right here. Isaiah said it was in the year that King Uzziah died, and I saw also the Lord high, lifted up, train filled the temple. Seraphim with six wings, they covered their face and they covered their feet and they did fly. And at the voice of him, the doorposts in the temple moved. And he said, I looked at that beatific vision and I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And then he said the seraphim took some live coal from off the altar and touched my lips and said, your sins have been forgiven and your iniquity is purged. Then Isaiah said, I heard the voice of God saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. It's not until you know God for yourself, it's not until God has touched your lips that you can say it like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Brothers and sisters, you can't start and stop. You can't serve God when it's convenient. You can't just come to church when the weather's good. You can't just praise God when it's your Sunday to usher. I wish I had somebody to help me preach it. You can't just give God the praise when it's your time to lead a song. You ought to be in the number cheering for somebody else who's leading the song. I don't have to be in front for God to get the glory. I don't have to have my name on the program for me to come to church and give God the glory. I can clap for somebody else. I can cheer for somebody else. I can be excited that God is using somebody else. But now listen, be careful. Because if you decide you want God to use you, you got to take all that comes along with that. Because it's not all glitz and glamour. I wish I had a witness here. It's not tailor-made suits and French cuff shirts. No, it's pain. It's suffering. It's going through some stuff. Somebody ought to help me preach here tonight. Pastor Jones was sharing with me that he has a brain situation, that he's waiting on a word from the doctor for when he's going to have surgery, still preaching the gospel. And I said to him, Reverend, God will be with you, because I went through the same situation and the doctor said he wouldn't live 2 hours. Here I am tonight in the Gethsemane Baptist Church pulpit to declare that can't nobody do me like Jesus. Then the doctor said if he lives, you're going to have to put him in a nursing home because he's going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life. Here I am tonight, in the language of my deacon's clothes and in my right mind, with a reasonable portion of my health and strength, to declare that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Reverend, God will be with you. God will get in that doctor's hands and bring you out of your situation, because if you suffer for Jesus' sake, if you suffer for Jesus' sake, God
God will see you through. Have I got a witness here? If you put your life on the line for Jesus' sake, God will bring you out. If you trust, I wish I had a witness, and never doubt, He will. Yes, He will. He will. Surely, surely bring you out. I've seen Him do it. I've seen Him do it. I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard thunder roll. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus bidding me still fight on. He promised. I wish I had somebody to help me. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. My mama's gone, but God is still with me. My daddy is gone, but God is still with me. Five of my brothers are gone, but God is still with me. I've had some friends to walk out on me, but God is still with me. Have courage. Be committed. I'm through now. But in the same verse, I haven't left verse 1 yet. Elijah was common. He was courageous. He was committed. But lastly, he's confident. He's confident in the person of God. You're going to help me close this, won't you? He said, this is not my word. This is not my truth. But as the Lord liveth, there will be neither dew nor rain. Now, Baal supposed to have the power. Because that's who they are worshiping. And Baal is the god of Jezebel, who has become the god of Ahab, who has now, in the minds of the people, substituted for the God of Israel. But Elijah is not only confident in God's person, he's confident in God's power. You gonna help me preach this, won't you? Because the scripture says, after he gave his pronouncement, he just walked out. Didn't caucus with anybody. Didn't have any committee meeting with anybody. He just dropped the word of God, dropped the mic, and left the room. But now, there's no dew nor rain, which means there will be no sustenance for Elijah, he thought. But when you do what God says to do, in a drought, God will take care of you. David said, I've been young. Wish I had a Bible reader. Now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Not only will God take care of you, he'll take care of your children. He'll take care of your grandchildren. He'll take care of you till your hair turns gray. He'll take care of you when your sight gets bad. He'll take care of you when you get old and can't get around that well. God will make a way out of nowhere. He tells Elijah, go by the brook, Chiles, and morning and evening, I will send a raven
to bring you bread and meat in the morning and meat in the evening. Now, raven is a bird of prey. A raven is a scavenger who eats everything he gets his hands on. But God tells him, don't eat that, because that belongs to Elijah. He brings Elijah bread and meat in the morning and in the evening, and he drinks water from the brook. But then one day, the brook dried up. I wish I had somebody to help me preach. God said, I want you to go to a little widow's house. And when you get to that widow's house, here's what I want you to do. She's going to be making a cake. And she and her son are going to eat it, she says, and die. Elijah said, make me one first. I wish I had a Bible reading. And she made Elijah a cake first. Somebody ought to help me preach it. You see, when you try to keep it all for yourself and don't remember the man of God, you short-circuit your own blessing. When she did what was right and listened to Elijah and blessed the man of God, the Bible said her flour never ran out. Her oil never ran out. Because you don't lose anything when you treat the man of God right. I wish I had somebody to help me preach it. But Elijah said, now listen, we've been fooling around with Baal long enough. I'll be in my seat in a minute. He said, how long are you going to play this game? How long will you halt between two opinions? If God be God, then serve him. And if Baal be God, then serve him. But in order to prove who the real God is, let's have a little contest. You're going to help me close this, won't you? Elijah said, let's build an altar. And the God that answers by fire will be our God. He said, to make it fair, you Baal prophets go first. You're going to help me close this, won't you? They built an altar. And they started calling on Baal. But Baal would not answer. So about noontime, Elijah said, why don't you call him a little louder? Baal might be on vacation. Baal might be relieving himself. Why don't you try calling him a little louder? And the Bible says they started cutting themselves with stones, bleeding all over the sacrifice. But Baal still did not answer. So about 3 o'clock, when it came time for the evening sacrifice, Elijah said, I've given you your opportunity. Now I'm going to take my opportunity. But to make it fair, because I don't want to really overwhelm you with this God that I serve, to make it fair, here's what I want you to do to the sacrifice. I want you to dig a ditch around it. And then I want you to pour water on the sacrifice. And then move out of the way and let me call on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're going to help me close this, won't you? Elijah started calling on God. He said, Lord, I'm down here. I'm the only one left. There are 450 prophets of Baal and 400 grove prophets. And they've called on the name of their God. And now I'm calling on you to come and answer by fire. You're going to help me close this, won't you? The Bible says fire came down from heaven. And not only did it burn up the sacrifice, but it licked up all the water that was around the sacrifice. Because our God is an able God. Our God is a prayer answering God. Our God is a powerful God. If you call him, he will show up. If you need him, he'll come to your rescue.
If you're sick, he'll be your doctor. If you are down, he'll pick you up. If you're lost, he'll come and save you. Is there anybody here ever had to call on the Lord? Is there anybody here know this God of whom I speak? He's Adam's Redeemer. He's Abel's Vindicator. He's Abraham's Sacrifice. He's Noah's Ark. He's Moses' Bush on Fire. Y'all know him, don't you? He's Joshua's Battle Axe. He's Gideon's Fleece. He's Samson's Power. He's David's Music. He's Solomon's Wisdom. He's Jeremiah's Balm in Gilead. Y'all know him, don't you? He's Ezekiel's Wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's God's only son. He's Mary's baby boy. He's James and Jude's older brother. He's Matthew's king. He's Mark's suffering servant. He's Luke's great physician. He's John's word made flesh. He's Acts coming of the Holy Ghost. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the blessed and the only potentate. He's the faithful and the true witness. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Y'all know him, don't you? He's a rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in a time of storm. He's a friend when you're friendless. Bread when you're hungry. Water when you're thirsty. Y'all know him, don't you? He's a lily of the valley. He's a rose of Sharon. He's a bright morning star. He's the desire of all nations. He's the ancient of days. He's the stem of Jesse. He's the root of David. He was born in Bethlehem, reared in Nazareth, baptized in the Jordan. He died. Didn't he die? But early Sunday morning, he arose. Didn't he rise? If the Lord opened doors for you, help me praise his name. If the Lord made a way for you, don't be embarrassed to testify. If the Lord saved your soul, made you whole, why don't you grab somebody? Why don't you hug somebody? Tell them you don't know like I know. You can't tell it like I can tell it. What the Lord has done for me. Have I got a witness? Is there anybody here fighting for yourself? Tell him thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases. People are slipping away. The economy's down. People can't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all. You've done for me. It could have been me outdoors with no food and no clothes, left alone without a friend, just another number with a tragic end. But you didn't see fit to let none of these things be. Every day by your power, you keep on keeping me. Thank you. 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 I know he's alright.
Thank you.
bone and the joy, 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 joy. Do you have joy? Do you have joy? Why don't you hug somebody? Why don't you grab somebody? Tell them this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. I know he's all right.
It was meant to kill me, sin to destroy me, and I thought that it would, and I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right, I'll understand if you wanna let me go, let me go, let me go, but you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go. And what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. It was meant to kill me, sent to destroy me, yep. And I thought that it was, yep. And I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right, I'll understand if you wanna let me go, go, go.
It's one. For the last 13 years, Barbara, that's who I call them. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what it feel. I don't even worry. I got up that morning thinking I had no money, but I didn't look at my account first. I sat on the bed and I said, Father God, spend all my money on my brother because I like to give. And I know you'll replace it, but I don't feel like cooking today. You told me to go to this account. I forgot all about that I ever had. I looked at it. It was more than enough to give Calvin bonos, fries, ribs, chicken, and a large Coke. Then I said, well, Lord, I think I want me a cold cup sandwich from Subway. He sent me in another direction. I got more than one sandwich. He gave me lunch meat, ham, hot dog, turkey, and bread, and hot dog buns. I still have more than enough. Then I said, well, Lord, Calvin's going to get tired of eating his hot dog. He said, go to this account over here and order him some, buy some chicken and neck bones and some lima beans. You know how to cook it. Oh, God. You know what I did? I did what God said, and today Calvin's got baked chicken, pinto beans, some rice. He's going to have gravy, and he's going to have strawberry cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about nothing. All I have to do is ask God, and he provides. He told me don't go to man first, and that was 12 years ago. When I hit him, 12, 13 years ago, he said, oh, I said, oh, God, save me. He said, will you trust me for the rest of your life? Will you come to me before anybody else? Barbara, I had a husband then. I didn't even ask him anything. I would go in that room and say, Lord, and I promise you, Jesus worked not just for things. He sent me to the physical therapist that come to my house, and I promise you, yes, my hip is hurting bad, but I'm moving it a little better. My knee hurting, but today I was able to do those 5 squats she told me to do. My God is able to do exceedingly above anything I can ask him for. When he tell me to ask people, that's who I go to. When he tell me to give to people, that's what I do. And like you said, Bobby, yeah, I'm a cheerful giver because, see, this money doesn't belong to me. It does, not one dime belonged to me. The cars, the house, none of this belonged to me. So what he tell me to do, I'm quick about it. But I have this one problem, and I need God to help me to learn when to give. Because like you told me, Bobby, you overdo it, Jerry. And that's the problem I have. I overdo it. But it's okay because God overdoes it. You cannot give God. You just can. And yesterday, when I was out, I went by a friend's house and I said, oh, God, I haven't been seen her in a while. I need to buy her this, Bobby. He said, no, you don't. You show her your presence. Now she see you and she thanks, because when you always see her, you give her something. You don't have it to give, and I'm not giving it to you. So when she saw me, she said, oh, my God, you got the glow on your face. Do you have such a crack? I kept hearing God say, no. I said, no. She said, I hear it in the spirit. God is telling you when and when not. You can get in just as much trouble when God tells you don't do something as you can when God tells you to do something. My money don't hit the bank good before I say, oh, let me give my tithes over here. Because the money doesn't belong to you. I belong to Jesus, and everything I have belongs to him. So, Barbara, I thank you for this show, and I truly thank you for Brother Anthony. He taught me how to say Sister Sion's name. I got that now. I know Sister Rita almost said, Brother Rita and Brother Frank. Okay, memory don't lapse now. I don't know nothing else. I'm trying to get to the hops and hobobs and, oh, Apostle Boatwright. I like her. I don't know what about it, but God says, always keep Apostle Boatwright in your prayer. And I hope I'm saying it right because God told me Apostle Boatwright. I don't know where she lives or who she is, but he told me she's an apostle, and that's what I believe. So good morning, everybody. I love all of you, Brother Frank, Brother Anthony, Brother Jermaine, Sister Rita. Oh, and I love that individual that put those morning prayers out there. I think her name is, what's her name, Barbara?
Wait, which one there?
The one that put our prayers out there on Facebook. Dorothy Goodman. Thank you, Holy Ghost. See, he told me to ask him. Sister Dorothy Goodman, those are beautiful good mornings. So thank you. They are so encouraging. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Brother Louie, that's my partner that loves to eat like me. So I love him. We're going to have an eating contest of cake. I know I'll win that. And I'll be doing it for the women, Barbara. You know, I'll eat up all the cake. And it'll be you all's fault that my pressure is up. Love everybody, and everybody have a good, good Wednesday morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Brother Louis say, hey, Sister Jerry, yum on that cake, on that food you're talking about. Yeah, you know he loves food. But we thank God, Jerry, because many of us will give us, and sometimes we can overdo it, you know. We should consult God every time before we give out, because if not, we'll be given in the wrong places. And the words say, don't cast your pearls to swine. And because if a pig, a hog get your pearls, they just going to stump them down in that slop, in that mud where they live. So if we are led by the Spirit of God in our giving, we're going to be better off. Sister Dot said, good morning, Sister Jerry. So, you know, we just thank God that we can go to him. And
good morning, Sister Dot. Those beautiful pictures out there on Facebook. Oh, they're beautiful prayers. Beautiful.
Yeah. So he'll give us what we need, but we must go to him. We have not because we ask not. And sometimes we are anxious. Sometimes we're so happy to give. Happy that we have something to give, and we may just give it to the wrong people. I'm guilty of it myself. So I have to be careful in my giving. Yeah, have to be careful. We have a lot of users just waiting, and they really don't care about you. They care about what you can give to them, because all they want is what you have. And this is why I'm careful. Even my daughter, Shantae, she's a great giver. And she loved giving to me. And I can remember the days I had to calm her down. Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Mama, I'm so happy, Mama. I just thank you for the teaching. Mama, it worked. It worked. I just thank you. Because whatever I taught her, she would run and get the Bible and find what I told her. In the word, the scriptures I quoted to her, she would go and read it and see if it said what I told her it said. And she started coming up. She had been to Arizona playing basketball for the women's Arizona team. She had finished college and all kind of stuff. And so when she got back or got to me, you know, she was all kind of mixed and matched up. But nonetheless, God took care of her. And I wanted some luggage. And we go to Walmart, and she disappears. So when she come back, she's like, I need you to come over here and look at this. Ooh, look at this. So when I go over there, here's this three-piece luggage set. And I'm like, what is that? Oh, don't you like it? I said, yeah, I like it. Well, I'm buying it for you. I said, hold up, swole up. No. I think I'll buy my own luggage. I said, because Shante, you just give. When do you give to yourself? Oh, I don't need nothing, Mama. I'm good. Now, I need you to buy you some dishes and some household things for yourself. And stop all of that buying for me, because I have more than I need, and you know it. But she just loved giving to me. And when she would get paid, here she come. I sent her to the bank to deposit both our paychecks, and she done deposited a whole bunch of her money in my account. I said, Shante, what is this? Take it out and put it back in your account and leave my account alone. Do what I ask you. I said, deposit my check, not deposit some of your money into my account. But she was blessed when she would do it, you see. And so she would just, like Mike Murdoch, she was just going to ride the blessings until the wheels fall off. Oh, we would go to the store.
You kill, Barbara. It's such a great feeling. A closed hand, nothing can get in. If your hand is closed, nothing can go in there. But you just open your hands and let the blessings flow out. I tell you, my little check I live on a month, I live like I'm a millionaire. Everybody look at me like, must be nice to be able to get Grubhub almost every day. Must be nice to eat out every day. Must be nice. It is nice because God takes very good care. I don't know how Calvin and I eat so well with less than $2,000 a month. And all our bills are paid. Nothing is behind. And every time I look around, even sometimes the DoorDash people giving me credit and sending me free food. That's nothing I want for Barbara. Health-wise, Calvin and I have not had a cold in 12 years. But then we got that shot, and Lord, we felt bad. But after a couple of days of praying to God and asking him for help, I could say it yesterday, I went out and did walking around and felt good with the sun on. There's nothing too hard for God, nothing. Refrigerator bike filled up. What I need has been met. My house is sparkling clean. My God is so good to me. And he's teaching me the do's and the don'ts. So I just want to say, I was a virgin this morning. I ran out of oil because I took the hydrocodone. But my hip feeling good, but it made me sleep. It made me sleep, almost sleep away. I got up 7:09. Then my phone didn't want to turn on. I'm like, the devil is a lie. I get my laptop out. So I thank God for the teaching. And it was great to hear about the cattle and trusting God. When you really trust God, you don't worry about nothing. You don't worry if the lights don't come on. You don't worry if the storm going to hit your house. You just talk to Jesus. And that's what I've been doing. I used to fall down every morning I got up. And one time I fell down, the last time I fallen, I said, God, you say a man got to fall seven times seven. Allowing me to fall and not hurt myself. I had to turn the sadness into gladness. I can't walk around sad. I don't care how lonely I get, because see, Calvin doesn't talk. he does motion. And so the house is like no one here but me and the walls. But it's still good because Calvin comes by me and smiles and waves. That to me is better than him saying, hello, mom. I'm so blessed. I can't say it enough, Barbara. I'm so blessed. I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed in the evening. I'm blessed 24 hours a day. I'm blessed even when Satan comes at me and falls. I don't hit my head. Don't hit nothing. Don't break nothing. I mean, I slip down in cooking oil. I slip down in water. And I didn't break one thing. All I broke was my feelings. The therapist came. She said, you cook and you clean up? Yes, yes. God is making me cook for all the years I didn't cook, okay? He's grooming me. He's working with me. I won't be giving out a resume this go round. Because now I know the importance of knowing how to cook for yourself. See, I don't know how to make dressing. I'm asking Sister Barbara to do that for me for Thanksgiving, and I want that turkey dressing. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Barbara, for allowing me to take up time on the show this morning. Everybody have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you, Jerry. God bless you. We thank God for you. Is there anyone else have anything they would like to say this morning? Please feel free to press that number one and come in today and to share whatever's on your heart or mind today. It may be concerning the message. It may be concerning something else. But feel free today. I want to go to this one this morning. And thank you for reminding me, because it's been a while since I played this one, and I love this song. The first time I heard it, Sister Simone gave it to me, and then after her, Shante brought it. And it's been a minute since I played it, and this is a request, and God bless you this morning for reminding me of this song.
and even when I'm riding down the dangerous highway, I need you.
The love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Luther Barnes this morning. Spirit fall fresh on me. I love that song. I love it. I love it. God bless you, Sister Simon, for the song. Yeah, and I thank you, the person requested it this morning. Good morning to you, Brother Anthony. I'm coming at you right now. How are you this morning?
Glad to have a favor. Good morning to you, Ms. Barbara. Yeah, I thank you, first of all, for life, health, and strength, keeping me on the right mind, allowing me to see another day, another thing before. Thank you for asking of my limbs. Thank you for just him being who he is in my life. And thank you for being able to come and fellowship in the morning. On the show, thank you for the show, thank you for you, thank you for just life itself and way what he's doing in my life, where he brought me from, where he's taking me in. I got to excuse my left my head stay home this morning, so it's a little loud, but say good morning to everybody, and good morning to you, Ms. Barbara, Sister Jerry, Brother Lewis, Brother Frank, say good morning to Brother Kel, Sister Rita, Scott Goodman, say good morning to Brown, good morning to you this morning, to Mother Anna Leafoot and Angela Leafoot, I think that's her name. Good morning to y'all. Good morning to Brother D, Brother Mike and Kim Hawk. Good morning to y'all. Good morning to Sister Alexis. Good morning to Sister Sal Moore. Good morning to Brother Perry, Brother Hamilton. Say good morning to Sister Boatwright. Good morning to you. That's all I got this morning. Good morning to everybody. I can think off the top of my head. Local Talk Woodbury. Good morning to everybody. And just, again, just thank God for coming together, being able to fellowship with one another. And, you know, get some food, spiritual food. And, you know, just fellowship with one another, you know, have a good laugh. And, we got Brother Calvin, too. Morning to you as well. Thank God again. And, I just wanted to say, ain't never heard about no strawberry cornbread, so I got to find out about that. Tickle me about that. We just thank God for, you know, just being able to, you know, hear one another's voice. And y'all keep me y'all friends. I keep y'all in mind. Y'all have a blessed, wonderful rest of the day. And I thank God for the word this morning as well. Logan Short Bulls. Thank God for the word this morning. And, you know, just, I ask God to continue to strengthen me, you know, that I can be a strong vessel for, you know, his kingdom and doing the work of his kingdom, that he gets that honor, glory, and praise out of my life and, you know, the ones that are drawn to him through the light that shines through me through God. So I just thank God for that.
Yes, sir. We thank God. We thank God. Sister Rita said, yeah, you did it, Brother Anthony. You remember Bo Quit made it. I'm so proud of you. Good morning. Yeah, we thank God. He got the foot and Mike Hops and Kim Hops. Yeah, he said both of them yesterday. He said the Hops. and he said the foot family. So, yeah, he's getting there, and that's a good thing. And I thank God for the fun we're having this and the good laughter. And, Brother Anthony, they have strawberry cornbread. I think that's by Pillsbury or Martha White, one of the two.
Martha White.
Martha White, uh-huh. They have blueberry, yeah. So.
They have blueberry, they have banana, they have strawberry. Oh,
uh-huh.
And that strawberry is so good.
Oh, the strawberry. See, I never tried one of them. I never tried the blueberry either. My niece, she loved that blueberry. Anything she cooked, we're going to have blueberry cornbread. But then, no, I don't care for none. But
that's because you're a woman that can cook, Barbara. We're the millennium people. We can't cook.
Wait a minute, Jerry. Calm down. You cooking over there, Jerry. You're doing pretty good now.
Yeah, but it ain't tasting like Mr. Crowd, and it surely ain't tasting like you. Boy, when you made Calvin that gravy and rice and biscuits, that boy looked at me, I looked at him, I was saying, oh, well, you know, it is what it is. Don't expect that, okay? It's Martha White, not Barbara Pittman.
Okay.
Love you, Brother Anthony. Love you, Sister Rita. Tell Kyle hello. Tell Buck, tell your son Kyle hello. And we all pulling and praying for him. Love you.
Yeah, Brother Lewis say strawberry corn muffins, yum. We like them too. Yeah, and that's by Martha White. They even have a pound cake mix in a box that you can make.
It don't taste as good as homemade, I'm sorry. If you're hungry, then
yeah, but I'm saying it come close to the homemade, you know, just like the gypsy cornbread mix.
It's not a Nicky pound cake. No way. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, Sister Rita said, thank you so much for praying for her baby, Sister Jerry. And she said, thank you, and I love you too. Love you all too. Yeah. But, and then some people, they take the box stuff and spruce it up a little bit. You know, they might take a cake mix. It requires for 3 eggs. They may put 4 eggs, put a little vanilla flavoring in it. Sometimes they put a box pudding in it, and it turned out like a pound cake. You know what I'm saying? It comes as close as it can to that original thing that you're looking for. But some people don't know the difference because they're not accustomed to having a homemade cornbread or a homemade pound cake, you know, like that. They're not accustomed to that. And then you can bake them a fresh, homemade from scratch apple pie. They may look a little weird because they used to get the filling out of the can, you know. But, I mean, if it tastes good and it's not harmful, then okay. Yeah, it's a lot of online recipes from scratch. Pinterest, YouTube. If you can't cook, YouTube will help you out now. And Pinterest will too. So you can cook some, you know, some things that you want to cook. Men can cook now. You know, a lot more men are learning to cook, and that's a good thing because you don't have to depend on the restaurants or somebody come over and bring you a plate. You know, you can get in there and rustle them pots yourself, and that's a good thing because we have to eat. Today I want to remind you, if you can, go ahead and get you some food, some non-perishable food, and if you can get a deep freezer, you know, and fill it, get your deep freezer and put your stuff in there, especially if you have a large-sized family. This will help you in the long run because from what I'm understanding, trucks are slowing down from running and stuff is out in the middle of the sea sitting on the ship and they can't get it here. In Alaska, the trucks are not rolling like they were, so the shelves are empty in a lot of places. But I've been blessed so far. But I, you know, I'm asking the Lord to hold me up until Saturday, and then I am able to go shopping and put stuff back and, you know, get more stuff so that if these things happen and it's going to be a while, then, you know, I can still eat. Okay, you would say he's been cooking every day since Terry got hurt. You go, Louis, the cook, Chef Louis. Tell me what you've been cooking, Louis. Let's see what you've been cooking over there. But, yeah, so make sure if you can, you stock your pantry, your cabinets, your canned foods, your canned goods, your canned milk, your boxed milk, your cleaning supplies, whatever you can do. You know, as quick as possible, get it done. And that way, you know, no matter how the cut going come, you can last a little longer. And we praying it don't get so bad, you know, that all the shelves are empty and there's nothing in the stores and no point in going because there's nothing there. No point in, you know, ordering online because you won't get it. Also, if you can start your Christmas shopping, they recommend you go ahead and start your Christmas shopping because it may not be stuff there for you in the month of December or even next month, you know. Because usually I think Black Friday is the day after or the day of Thanksgiving. A lot of people go Thanksgiving night and wait all night to get in those stores. I just was never able to do that. I just wasn't that kind of person. I make my list, and when layaway time comes, I lay my stuff away and get it done. Yeah, peace through preparedness. Because if you prepare and get it done, you know, you're going to be in a, oh, I can't get it, I ain't got that, you know, but you did it before things got bad. Preparedness is a great thing. So do it for yourself. And I'm going to mute your mic, Brother Anthony. And get what you can get, you know, and do what you can for your children, your household, and that kind of thing. I know now they even deliver liquor. You can go online and like you do your groceries and order from the bar and or the liquor store, and they'll deliver it to your door. I was shocked over that. I was like, what? Because I know during the pandemic, during that coronavirus in 2020, people was doing a lot of lies saying that's what they were going to do, just stay home and get drunk. I'm like, wow. And when you come out of this thing, you're going to have it. You won't be able to go back to work, really, because you can't function all day because you can't drink liquor all day. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff within that. But nonetheless, we moving on up the King's Highway. Yeah, and we trust in God to bless us to get all done that we need to get done. And he will hold things up until we complete our shopping. Yeah. Sister Rita said, thank you so much for praying. Oh, I told you about that. She said, I will come on, but I'm going through this morning. Can't stop. Oh, okay, Sister Rita. Okay, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you before we get off of here this morning. Yeah. Intercessors, I need y'all to touch and agree with me this morning for Sister Rita. It's going to be all right. Sion sent me a message. Said, good morning, sunshine. She out in the ocean somewhere, cruising around. Yeah, sent me a beautiful picture. And she posted some stuff over there on her live and on her story. And so it's just wonderful. I make me want to cruise. Make me want to go out and lay up on the ship, eat all the food I want to eat. And this time, I don't think I'll be up and down the ship like I was the last time. Yeah, I think I'll just chill and rest, take my DVD player and play me some movies and things, music, and just relax. Yeah, but that's a beautiful thing. So is there anyone else this morning? I feel like I'm babbling. Good morning, Brother Jermaine. God bless you this morning. I just saw his number. All right, bringing you in right now. Good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Good morning, Sister Barbara and everybody out there. I was laughing because it seems like lately every time I tune in, somebody's talking about some good food.
Okay.
I got some ideas. I'm actually one of those men that do 90% of the cooking at the house, so I might have to try me some strawberry cornbread this year.
Okay.
Martha White. Martha White, okay. Well, I was thinking about what you were saying because I had to pass over a bridge to get to my job, and I looked over in the water, and you could see about 20 ships out there just sitting.
Mm.
And I got friends that work on the dock, too, and a lot of this stuff is political. There's stuff there, but they just not letting them deliver it. And, you know, for whatever reasons, but I think a lot of this mandate stuff has a lot to do with some of it because you got people walking off their jobs, you know, in a refusal to be experimented on. So I'm real thankful this morning. I'm thankful for shows like yours where you're continuing to, it's consistent. You're telling people what they need to do. You know, you had to be prepared. You know, God forbid anything happened, but we was kind of living too fat on the hog for so long. We didn't think we'd see things like this. And, you know, here we are. So I don't know what's going to happen. I continue to pray for our leaders, even though I know I don't really trust them. But it's a mess right now. But I know who's in control, so I'm not going to stress off it. I just think it's disappointing. It's too bad.
Yeah.
But I look forward to what God has for the future. I know a lot of people is moving out of my state of California, trying to get to somewhere that makes sense. I think we had like 150 to 200 officers who were ready to lose their job, and the deadline was yesterday. And what they'll do is they'll extend it. They'll play around with it because they really trying to force these people to do something they don't want to do, but. They're going to have something where they meet them in the middle because this is not working out. You know, I know places like Chicago, which is extremely violent, they had something like 3,000 officers who were saying they're not going to do it. And no city right now in America can afford to lose officers because it's going to be a criminal holiday when they find out there's not that many cops on the street. And you know, places like Las Vegas, which I had to go visit, is murder was up 62%, and it's just kind of a curse on our lands, and these politicians are too prideful to see that they are part of it. So I'm just continue to pray and continue to keep everyone who's asking for it in prayer. I heard the prayer request for Sister Rita, so I'm gonna get to that too. But, yeah, I just wanted to drop in and say hello this morning to you.
Yes. Yeah, bro. Brother Anthony, I never would have thought I would ever see a day like today with all of this madness going on. And they lost control in there somewhere because all of the presidents I knew about, I want to say before Mr. Obama, in a way, they were held accountable and held to the fire, and they just didn't come out doing any old thing they felt like doing and saying and all of this stuff. But all of a sudden, things begin to change, and it always takes me back here. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive the sins, and heal the land. And all of this really starts with leadership. When I look in the Bible, many of the kings, you know, they said, well, if God said this, then this is what we're doing. And some of them, they didn't. But I don't think it was as many doing all of this, you know, like it's going on today. And man, for some reason, think he's in control. He think he can fix things. He can do it this way, and it's going to turn out that way. No, only God, only the plans of God will work. In any country, in anywhere, only the plans of God. Yeah. Sister Rita said, thank you, Brother Jermaine. God bless you, and I pray for you, too.
I appreciate it. I can use it, too. Real quick, Sister Barbara, I was going to say, real quick, I know we almost out of time, but if you notice, like most of these areas that are having problems, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, they all, and I'm not trying to pick on nobody, but every single one of them, from the president, the vice president on down, they were all supporters of perversion. Every single one of them, either the mayor's gay, you know, I heard something about the transportation secretary, you know, him taking maternity leave because him and his husband had twins or something through some surrogate. And it's like you can't continue to have this kind of like just perversion, all these other things going on in our country and expect no payback. I mean, we reap what we sow.
Yes.
And a lot of these churches having these people come behind a pulpit again. That's a big stickler for me. You got to be. I heard down in L.A. I know it was Bishop Jones, who I do like, but I forget the senator he had up in there. I forget, her name escapes me, but it's like she loves gay marriage. She loves abortion, and it's like, you know, the vice president, same thing. She now all of a sudden she's in black churches trying to get them to campaign again. It's like, anybody really, but to black people specifically, you know, I don't see no racial lines. I serve God, but we have to stop letting ourselves get used.
Yeah.
You know, stop letting these people come up in there and preach to you when they're not preaching anything about Christ. They're preaching politics, and then they leave. They drop their perversion, and then they go. Mm-hmm. We don't see them until they need something. So the thing, Chicago, the mayor there, you know, she's out and proud, and all these places seem to be, you know, kind of under a curse. So I'm just continue to pray. Like I said, I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, because I don't think leadership see God. I think they see it as, it's my thing. I have the answer. We're going to try this. We're going to try that. We're going to let this be this, and we're going to support the perversion of people who are perverted, and they take no consideration for real that God is against perversion. That's not of him. And there are only two, evil and good. So if it's not for good, then it's got to be for evil. There was a reason why back in the day, what they call being in the closet was that. Because of the word of God, because of what people knew God wanted. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And we can do anything we want. We can try anything that we want to try. But the bottom line is going to be this. If it's not God's will, it's not going to work. It will not work. It'll get worse before it gets better. God set things in place that we can get better, but we refuse to do what he said in place. Before we'll do it, we'll twist it around
so that we can do it our way and say, oh, yeah, God don't have a problem with it. Simply because he didn't strike you down, it does not mean he did not have a problem with it. What it means is this. Your sins will destroy you. Yeah. What you're doing that's against God and against the word of God will destroy you. It will not make you better, I promise. Yeah. So we have to take all of these things under consideration and look to the hills, look to God. But many don't believe that. You know, they just believe we can do whatever we want to do and it's going to be all right. It's not going to be all right if we have not done it the way that God said to do it. And we have no respect for him. We have no respect for his house. We have no respect for his people. The church itself have brought all kind of nonsense and foolishness that God has not said in his word in his house because of the way they felt. Oh, this look good. This sound good. We're going to put this in there. So now we're going to have folks up praise dancing half naked. We're going to have the choir rocking and rolling like they in the club. See, a lot of things we do, it's not the word of God. It's what we feel. We're going to do a church anniversary. We're going to do a choir anniversary. We're going to do the usher bowl anniversary. Find that in the word. And if it's not in the word, don't do that. Because just because God don't strike you down, it does not mean that he agrees with what your flesh is having you to do. We got to walk in the spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Yeah. But we pray, like you said, Brother Anthony, we pray for the leadership of America. And we pray that they will heed to God's word. Because his will is going to be done. I mean, man can do anything he's big enough to do. The end result is God is going to rule and reign. Because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Because he didn't get instructions from God. Yeah. So we just keep the country lifted in prayer and pray that God will come back to America and have his way. Because the way it's looking right now, man is running everything. And he making a lot of mistakes. And they just happy to have things they think going their way. I promise it's not going your way. The end thereof will be destruction. Yeah, you will be destroyed because of what you have chosen to do and you did not do it God's way. Yeah. And it's a sad thing. It is. It's sad to see so much of this nonsense and foolishness going on. And my thing is this. I mean, they don't want to look at back in the day and get some of those things and put them in place. But back in the day, we didn't have all of this wildness we have now. There's nothing new under the sun, but it wasn't out front. It wasn't affecting everybody. You know, nothing was being pushed on you, basically. It was your choice. If you chose to get the, what was it? Polio shots or whatever, that was your choice. And then they made it mandatory in the schools because I believe they allowed so many people over here from other countries, and these people had all kind of disease and all kind of things that they didn't know about. And that's another thing. America opens her door to any and everything. And we have to be careful where we should be plugging up and building up and closing up, we don't do that. We keep that wide open. And what shouldn't be open, I mean, what should be closed, we refuse to close it. So again, that's a way to seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And simply because I don't agree with what you do, it does not mean I hate you. It does not mean I don't like you. I just don't agree with the things that you're doing because they're wrong. The sad part about it, too, is many don't even know it's wrong. Did you know that? Many people don't even know it's wrong. They think it's just my thing. I do what I want to do. You know, they haven't considered. I've had many young women that tell me, well, see, we didn't go to church. My mom never told me about church. My mom never talked to me about God because it was their thing and they did what they wanted to do. They never considered God. And anybody tried to talk to them about God, they didn't want to hear it because they needed natural proof. They needed for the flesh to find proof. It's all around them, but they can't see it because unless you're walking in the spirit, you won't see because God is a spirit. Yeah, he's not a natural man like you and I. So we just keep the prayer wheel going, keep prayers turning, and pray for folks everywhere. Brother Lewis said the prayer wheel is wrong. I just remember that, Brother Lewis. But we just keep prayers going for everybody. And keep this country and its leadership lifted in prayer. Okay, Brother Anthony, hold on 1 second. Okay, your mic open, Brother Anthony.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to say something. I noticed, you know, with the transgender and gay people, for some reason they seem to gain a lot of weight. You ever noticed that?
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. And it appears, okay, and it appears more and more are showing up. And I have said at one point, my goodness, is everybody a part of this? You know, what happened to the world? But that's not true. Everybody's not a part of that. Yeah. When I was born, as I grew up from a little girl, I knew I loved men. I didn't say boys, I said men. And all my life, I knew when it come to relationship, I was to be with a man. I knew that. I just knew it. It was just in me. I knew it was never for me to be with a woman. And I'm not attracted to women, but I am very attracted to men. You know, so I believe God made us in his image, and he made no mistakes. I think it's man and man's choice. And what man decide he want to do because he's confused and he just think he can just do this. If I do this, this is what I'm supposed to do. And so many people support it and screaming, yeah, 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 it's your thing. Don't let nobody tell you what to do. Many have lost their lives over it. All kind of stuff has gone on. Yeah. But we just keep the country lifted in prayer, keep the people, keep the leadership. And we pray for every gender because they got so many now that God would move, you know, in their hearts and mind and that he would lead and guide them and give them what is correct. Yeah, because that's all we can do. We can't change people. And not everybody is gay. Not everybody is a part of some other gender, it, me, I, whatever it is. Not everybody is there. You know, people may, you know, support you and let you do all of that, but not everybody believe in that. They just allowing you to do what you want to do, you know, but it's not a real something. It's just real to you. Yeah. And simply because I don't believe the word of God, it does not make it be untrue. It's just that I don't believe. Yeah. So we just thank God this morning. And is there anyone else? If not, we will pray out this morning. And I pray God bless us to come back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Anyone else?
Hey, Sister Barbara.
Yes, sir.
Real quick, I just wanted to, just give some hope. Like last night, I actually coincidentally, I was having dinner with my wife and someone who works for her, who she's still technically married to her cousin. She was in a lesbian marriage and it's been like a 3 to 5 year battle, but sometime we just had to approach these people with compassion and continue to pray. But now she's coming out of that lifestyle and she's an Asian girl. As a matter of fact, you know, God just working that she has her eye on some brothers now. A lot of times it's almost like they're under a satanic spell, and we just have to continue to be firm, but not just like, you know, beat them over the head with it.
Oh, no.
So, you know, her and many others, once they come out of that spell, you know, they kind of look back and realize what they was in. And, you know, and what Brother Anthony was saying, you know, I'm working in San Francisco. I'm like 6'3 and a half, about 300 pounds. If I wanted to, I could walk into the women's bathroom and say I identify as a woman. Mm-hmm. Nobody could say nothing. But we so twisted up that when they find out I'm one of the people that's unvaxxed, they look at you funny. I'm like, that's how much confusion is out here. You know, you would look at me worse for not having some experiment in my body versus, you know, a giant man walking into a woman's bathroom, and that's okay. So that we're just going to continue to pray. So I'm going to go ahead and get off because I know I got to get out of here.
Yeah, but I looked at that too, because a man with a size 16 shoe, I'm not saying they're not women with a size 16 feet, but I think that's kind of more rare than often. How tall, how big. I'm not saying they're tall women, but that's kind of rare too. You know, a tall, tall woman being, you know. But like you said, we just pray, you know, keep them under prayer. And God is bringing many out. Yeah, many of them are coming out of that lifestyle, as they call it. Yeah. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. Thank you this morning for Sister Jerry and Brother Anthony and Brother Jermaine calling in, God, to say something on your behalf. We thank you this day for all you've done already, what you're doing right now, Father, and what you're going to do. We give you glory, honor, and praise, for you're yet on our side in spite of us. And Father, we're casting all our cares upon you today, for you care for us. And your word also says for us, the believers, that if you be for us, you're more than the whole world against us. We believe your word, Father, and we hold on to it. And we walk in the spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Strengthen us today as your people in the name of Jesus. Bless the leadership of America. And God, those Americans that have not found you yet, God, they heard, but they haven't begun to seek. We ask today would be that day that, God, you would lead them to you in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would bless Sister Rita this morning and Kyle and our other son. God, we ask that you would open doors to this family and make ways for them in the name of Jesus. And, Father, whatever it is today that the enemy is trying to attack Sister Rita with, we bind it up and cast it to the pits of hell, never to return again in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke the devourer for her sake this day in the name of Jesus. Anything that's coming our way today, all our ways, is not of you. Father, we ask that you would rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Ask that you would bless our going out and our coming in. Father, meet the need in our lives today, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. All we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, October 20th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, we won't be coming back today. Hallelujah.
You keep me in perfect peace. said you give me everything I need.
You're my